probably noticed he came home bloody and bleeding and torn. But it was great preaching. And we thank the Lord for it. And it was great to be with, I guess there was 70-some men there. And get around 70 men who were basically on the same page of wanting to live for God. Not a one of them was perfect. Not even the preacher. Every one of us have our difficulties and our struggles. But that common bond of knowing the Lord and loving the Lord, just something wonderful about getting around people and having that bond. And I still enjoy hearing the men sing. You get in that chapel and boy, it's all wood and it just reverberates off of that. And the strong voices of men. And what a delight. Fellas, if you didn't go this year, go next year. Amen. You don't know what you missed. Well, we're in Matthew 7. Matthew 7. I want to look down at verse 15 and I want to go through verse 20. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. If you didn't find it yet, just open your Bible and pretend that you did. Nobody will know. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And let's pray. Lord, once again, we're very thankful for this time and this book. And Lord, we never get over the marvel of how this book has changed our lives. How it's alive and just continues to do a work in us. As we read it, as we study it, as we learn more about you, it changes us. And we're thankful for that. This morning we're going to look at this passage. This morning we're going to seek your face once again and ask you through the Word of God to speak to hearts. Again, there may well be unsaved people in our midst. We would never assume that everybody here today is saved. There may be some folks who have never made that decision to open their heart to Jesus Christ, to put their faith in Him and what He's done for them, to receive that gift you offer, the gift of salvation. Father, I pray that if that's the case of anybody in this room today, that today before they ever leave, they will receive that gift. They will settle the issue of where they're going when they die. They will come to Christ and have their sins forgiven. Oh, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do that here today. And I pray for believers as we share this message that believers would be attentive, that believers would see the need to plug some of these things in their lives, that we might be all you want us to be. God, help us this morning. We can't do anything here without you. Not anything of any spiritual value. It's by your Spirit that we need the work done here today, and we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, Bringing Forth Good Fruit. Bringing Forth Good Fruit. These verses we've read today are a part of what's often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. The time of this sermon is early in the 3.5-year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5, we find the setting of this Sermon on the Mount revealed. Now, this sermon goes from chapter 5 into chapter 6 into chapter 7. You think I preach long? And of course, the preacher is the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, the latter part of chapter 4 there, it tells us that Jesus is somewhere in Galilee doing great miracles. And the people around had heard of His great miracles. And so people from great distances now have traveled to where Jesus is, some to be healed, others just to observe. As the crowd grows, we learn that Jesus found an elevated place up on a mountain. And it says He sat down there and began to teach His disciples. We have come now to chapter 7 and verse 15. And Jesus there is moving to yet another subject. In this sermon, He goes down several different subjects, the Beatitudes and on and on. But now in verse 15, He's jumping to another subject. The subject is false prophets. He's warning people about false prophets, people who are not what they say they are. He says they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. He's saying beware of these people because they'll come to you looking good outwardly. They'll come to you seeming to be one of you. But they're really not what they seem to be. Then Jesus gives them the principle now. He gives them the problem. Hey, wolves among sheep. But He gives them the principle to follow in order to know who these are, who the true believers are from those who are false believers. He says you'll know by their fruits. Jesus is revealing here that a person's salvation cannot be truly known by how they look or how they talk. But it's going to be revealed clearly by the fruits of their life. Today we might say this, talk is cheap. Or we might say this, actions speak louder than words. What we mean by this is one's actions, the kind of fruits we find in one's life, are the real test of a person's Christianity. Not their appearance, not what they say. Thus we see Jesus' clear teaching that the proof of a person's salvation is in the fruit they bear as Christians. Or may I add, the lack of that fruit. No true believer can be totally barren of spiritual fruit. Listen to me, write it down, get it in your computer, write it on the back of your hand, do something, but get that principle. It's a biblical truth. No true believer can be totally barren of spiritual fruit. Now, there are many levels of fruit bearing. In John 15, Jesus talks about bearing fruit. He says, bear fruit. Little later, He says, bear more fruit. Little later, He says, bear much fruit. So there are different levels of fruit bearing, but every believer must have some fruit, spiritual fruit, in their Christian life if they're a true believer. Now this morning, I want you to understand there are different types of fruit we can bear. And this morning I want to speak to you about several different types of fruit that ought to be present, ought to be observable, ought to be evident in the life of every believer. Every believer needs to display some spiritual fruit. The first one I want to talk about is the fruit of a praiseful spirit. Every believer ought to bear the fruit of a praiseful spirit in their life. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Now you can chase these verses with me, it won't hurt you. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Are you there? Peter writes to believers, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We're supposed to show forth praises. Go over to Psalms 150. Psalms 150. I still hear pages rattling. 150. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Do you get the idea? You got to be pretty thick not to. The whole psalm, one theme, praising the Lord, and God's people ought to be a praiseful people. Listen, we need to praise God when we think about what He's done for us. I praise Him, He saved me. I don't know why He did, other than He loves me. I didn't deserve it. And I didn't go looking for Him. Neither did you. But He saved me. 39 years ago, He came into my life and changed my life. And I'm glad He did. I would never want to go back. I'm thankful that He did what He did for me. I'm thankful that He saved me. I'm thankful that He loved me unconditionally. There was nothing in me that was lovable by God when He saved me. Huh? But He had just made a decision before the very foundations of the world. He was going to love me. He did the same thing for you. You don't deserve Him to love you. "Well, you know, I do this and I do that and I'm such a good Christian." You don't deserve Him to love you. We ought to be so very thankful that He does not love us with any conditions. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. Yeah. He loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. Unconditionally, there's no conditions. Regardless of what I am or what I do, He loves me. Need to be praising Him because He loves us unconditionally and praising Him because He made salvation possible for us. There was only one way, friend. Do you understand that? There was only one way for mankind to ever have eternal life, to ever have forgiveness of sins, to ever not have to spend eternity burning in torment in hell. And that way was for God to send Jesus Christ to do what for us, what we could not do for ourselves. And as unlovable as we are, nothing in us that deserves it, God, because of His love, did it for us. And He made it possible for me to be saved. Maybe you don't understand this, but right now you are one of over 6 billion people in the world. You got that? 6 billion. Believe it or not, most of those 6 billion have no idea who you are. You getting the picture? You are a big nobody in this world. We're like another grain of sand on the beach. But not to God. Not to Him. You might be one of 6 billion, but to Him you're special. You're special enough that He loved you enough to send His Son to die for just you. You know, some of that's enough to make a Yankee shout. Some of you have been in the South. You understand when I say it's enough to make a Yankee run a lap. When you start considering these things, who am I that God would pay attention to me? Yet He does. We need to have a praiseful spirit because of what He's done for us already. Saved us. Forgiven our sins. Cleansed our sin account in heaven. Guaranteed us that heaven's our home. Settled the issue forever. I can go to bed every night and put my head on that pillow and know that if I die during the night or I die tomorrow, I'm going to heaven. And then we ought to have a praiseful spirit, not only because of what He's done for us, what He's doing for us. See, God doesn't just save us and then cut us off. No. He continues to work in our life. First and foremost, He keeps us saved. I hope you understand you can't keep you saved. Listen, if you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're teaching Sunday school or you're doing this or doing that to try to keep you saved, you've got a problem with your salvation. See, you get saved by grace and you stay saved by grace. Being saved has absolutely nothing to do with anything we do or don't do. I don't stay saved because I go to church or read my Bible or do anything else. I stay saved because I got in the family of God 39 years ago. I got birthed into His family. I got what they call down south, born again. I got born spiritually into the family of God according to John chapter 1 and verse 12. I became His child. Number one, you can't reverse a birth. I know some parents at times have wished, but you can't do it. A birth is a fact. A birth is a done deal. I got born. Born into God's family, and nothing can ever change that. And when I sin, and when I go against God, and when I rebel, and when I'm not the Christian I ought to be, God does not kick me out of the family. He will chasten me. Spanking from how many of you are spanking from God? Whew. I'd rather take a beating from any man. You know, you can run from men. You can hide from men. You can't run and hide from God. Huh? He'll discipline you. He'll chasten you because you are His child. But He'll never kick you out of the family. And that means whenever you close your eyes in death, you're going to go be with Him. Yeah? He's doing that for us right now. He is preserving me. Not only that, He's pouring out His blessings on me. If you can find Lamentations, go over there for a minute. Familiar verses over there in Lamentations. Chapter 3. It's right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. chapter 3. Here's what God's doing for you today. You ready? God is doing this for you personally today. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Every day we get up is a new day. We get to start again. Every day. I messed up yesterday. New day. God's mercies will take care of it. They're renewed every... Listen, God don't keep a record so He can throw it up in your face. Any of you messed up in the last week on the Lord? Some of you just lied. Let's try this again. Any of you mess up on the Lord in the last week? You know, He won't hold that against you if you confess that. He will never bring it up. It's gone. If you have come to Him, 1 John 1:9, and confessed your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you might say, well, God, you know, what about what I did the other day? And God said, what do you mean, what you did the other day? What'd you do? I don't know anything about it. And that happens every day. He's doing that for us. And then hearing and answering our prayers. I had God answer two very insignificant prayers. One of them was at the men's retreat, and Julio was sitting beside me. He thought I lost it. We're in the men's retreat, in the service, the man's preaching, I'm listening to his preaching, but before I left, and I'm going to tell on Brother Stan, he asked me a question Wednesday night. He said, preacher, I hear preachers say all the time, they plucked Jesus' beard out of His face when they crucified Him. But I can't find that in the Bible. I've looked everywhere. I can't find anywhere where it says they pulled His beard out of His face. And I said, well, I know it's in there, but I don't know where it is. I said, well, Brother Stan, let me look. Let me look. I knew I had read it. I didn't know where. So the next day, I got on my computer before I went to men's retreat. I did a bunch of stuff I had to do. And then I took a minute. I went on a computer and I punched in plucked. Nothing there. Nothing about that. I punched in beard. David's beard, this beard, that beard. Nothing about Jesus' beard. Tore. I tried tore. So I said, well, I have to do it after men's retreat. I don't have time right now. So I go to men's retreat. Well, Friday evening, in evening service, we're sitting there and the man's preaching. And I got to thinking about that. Stan asked me that question. And I forget what word came to my mind, and I thought, well, maybe I should look there. So I just had my Bible, has a little concordance in it. I thought I'll look there, and I looked back, nah. And I've been saying since Stan asked me, you know, Lord, I know it's there. I got to find it. So I just offered up another one of those. Lord, I know it's here. You got to help me. And God said, look up hair, dummy. And I said, why didn't I think of that? So I'm sitting there and I only have a little concordance in this Bible. I turn it, look up hair, and there it is. Isaiah 50, verse 6. They plucked the hair out, or they took, tore, ripped the hair out of His face, out of His cheeks, something to that effect. And I got so tickled. And this guy's up there preaching. Yeah. And Julio's going. Isn't that amazing when He answers our prayers? had another one. I don't have time to tell you about it, but it was similar. Lord, I need it. There it is. We need to praise Him for that. We need to be a people of praise. Have a praiseful spirit. By the way, not just because of what He did for us and what He's doing for us, how about what He's going to do for us? Wow! Have you ever thought about heaven? And don't think about strumming a harp for all eternity with little wings. You ain't getting them. You might be a bird brain here, but you won't be one there. Hey, heaven's going to be a place where we actually live and function. And it's going to be far beyond. If you can think about what the Garden of Eden was like and so wonderful and how Adam got to enjoy it all, we're going to have something similar. How about the rapture? Wouldn't it be great to be here when the rapture happens? I'm all for it. I'm not looking forward to somebody walking past that box and saying how good I look. I'm not looking forward to being warehoused or stored or whatever you want to do with the carcass. You know, people put it in a warehouse up here. I don't know what's up with that. They're afraid the worms are going to get it. I got news for you. Man, we need to be a people of praise. And if you're a Christian, the fruit of praise ought to be in you. Man, so many Christians walk around like they're sucking lemons all the time. You know, I'm a Christian, but my life's so hard. Listen, we're all having a hard time. Anybody in here not having a hard time? Anybody here don't have any problems? See me afterwards. I'll lend you some of mine. But we don't have to walk around. Man, we got stuff to be excited about. We got things to praise God about. And that's the fruit that happens. Yeah, I'm going through tough times. I'm going through difficulties. But I can still praise. Number two. We need to display spiritual fruit by having a propensity to pray. We all know 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, don't we? Pray without ceasing. Now, that don't mean you're to be a monk and go close yourself up in the corner somewhere and spend 24 hours a day praying. No. It means to be in direct communication with God all the time. Be in that position where you can offer up imprecatory or importune prayers all the time. Pray without ceasing. I pray about everything. I'm praying about finding a verse in the Bible. Can I ask you this? Do you think there were any more pressing issues going on in this world than Art Gilmore needing to find a Bible verse? Do you think there were some people praying for the lives of their loved ones who were dying? Do you think there were some people who were bringing prayer requests to God and yet He heard my prayer? That doesn't mean He didn't hear theirs. But He could still hear mine. Listen, God wants us to be a prayerful people. Luke 18:1, and Jesus gave this parable that men ought to pray and not to faint. I don't mean pass out. It means to fall away from praying. Why is that there? Because He knew the propensity of man to quit praying. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You there? Verse 6. And the Lord kept bringing this to my mind this week. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what he's saying there? Don't fret and don't worry. I spent half a week fretting and worrying. I'm confessing my sin. I did. Ask my wife. I was a basket case. That's my wife. I'm being honest with you. I scheduled an appointment in Pittsburgh for next Wednesday to have another procedure, and from the minute I scheduled that, I was an absolute basket case. Yeah. And I kept thinking about this verse, be careful for nothing, and I'm thinking, this is wrong, I shouldn't be worrying about this, I shouldn't be threatened about this, I shouldn't be beside myself about all this. But I was. And I had to pray, and I began praying, God, help me, I don't want to be this way. And let me, I can't give you all the details, but I'm going to share this with you. I'm not going to Pittsburgh Wednesday. Cancel. Had no peace about it. Didn't feel it's what I should do. Went to my primary care, and they said, let's try another thing here before you go to Pittsburgh. And I said, hallelujah. I don't have anything against Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. I just don't want to go there. But God says, hey, I got everything under control. You need to pray. Bring it to me. I'm your Father. I want to help you. We need to be faithful in our prayers. We need to be a people who have a consistent prayer life, a constant prayer life, and we ought to, listen, if we're saved, we really ought to have a desire to talk to our Heavenly Father. That's a fruit of salvation. You know, before I got saved, I didn't have any desire to pray. Did you? And if I did, all I knew was our Father which art in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Pope is now in second place. That kind of thing. But then I got saved. And God put something in my heart that said, hey, I'm your Father, talk to me. Let's fellowship. That's a fruit of salvation. Listen, I'm not judging anybody here. If you have no desire to pray, you got a problem with your salvation. That's a natural fruit that comes with it. How about praying about everything? Burdens, needs, decisions. I'm amazed at how many Christians just do things and never ask God. Let me illustrate. I wouldn't consider buying a car without asking the Lord. I wouldn't consider buying a house without asking the Lord. I wouldn't consider changing careers. I wouldn't. Hey, I asked Him. And let me say this, and I often say this to the Lord, and I'm not being funny. Lord, I'm dumb as a rock. Lead me, the psalmist said this, lead me in a plain path. In other words, make it real clear. And you know He will, if you're sincere. We need to pray in faith. James said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, God honors faith. How is your prayer life? Is that a fruit that's evident? We ought to have the fruit of a praiseful spirit, a propensity to pray. How about a powerful hunger for God's Word? Oh, I love my Bible. Well, I take it to church every Sunday, and when I'm done, I put it in a nice place in my study or in my living room or somewhere, and then I get it next week and bring it to church again. I love my Bible. You read it? You study it? You know, this is God's love letter to you. You know, this is the guidebook for your life. This is the instruction manual. I said in Sunday school, I am technologically challenged. I told Sunday school, I still haven't figured out how to program the VCR. It's been gone. She got this new phone. I have a flip phone. I have trouble with that. But it's all I want. She has this phone, man, that talks to her and she talks to it, and you know, she can get the Google Maps for us, and she can get this. She could listen, this is great. When we're traveling, Brother Stan, she can find a Dunkin' Donuts for me. It's down here on the right, huh? Yes, amen. But I can't do that. I'm technologically challenged. But I want you to know this. Though I can't do all that, I take time to read my Bible. And I take time to study God's Word. Because that's more important than knowing how to do all that. But see, we've got a lot of people today, they're more concerned about being able to do all that than they are about what this says. Oh, I'm a Christian. I love God's Word. You read it. You study it. It's your guide for your life. If I do anything with electronics, I've got to get the guidebook. Have to. We got one of those, what do you call it? We call it the cuss box. It eliminates cuss words. Yeah, we got one of them. My wife says, you got to hook that up. And I said, oh my, so no. The instructions are right there. Just hook it up. Yeah, right. Well, I hit it. Yeah. For a little while. Finally, I got under conviction and said, okay, I got to hook this. And I got the instruction book out. And this wire goes here and this wire goes here. I hooked that thing up. I'll bet you I hooked that thing up 100 times. Every different way I could imagine. And it wouldn't work. And I finally told her, I quit. I'm done. Get rid of the TV or something. I'm not fooling with it anymore. I'm done. Then somebody said to me about the control thing. There's something you got to do on a control thing. And so I went home and I got the control thing and I'm looking at it. I don't know what I did, but it works. So I don't touch it. I'm not challenged. You know, I'm challenged in life. I don't have it all figured out. I can't just go through life, well, I'm going to do this and this and this. I have to go back to the manual. I have to keep going back to this thing. Because this is my guide. This is where I find out what's right, what's wrong. This is where I learn to make my decisions on what I should do. It's not what the world says. Hey, I don't put my finger up and say, well, which way is the wind blowing, you know, in society? No, I say, what does God say? See, I don't say, well, you know, the society around me is saying it's okay to be a homosexual. Maybe I should go that route. Oh, no. I just stand my ground because God said, that's an abomination. Huh? The world says, hey, it's okay for a man and a woman to shack up and not be married. And I say, oh, no, 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 no. I read in the manual, it says that's fornication. That's wrong. And how we could spend an hour here just going through those things. Read it. Fruit in the Christian life, a hunger for God's Word. Do you really want to know what God says? By the way, if you do, you ought to come to church. Oh, I come every Sunday morning. Do you know, that is a liturgical thought process, if you think all you need to do is come to church on Sunday morning. I used to think that way when I wasn't saved. You know what happened when I got saved? Preacher said, now we got service Sunday night, I'll be here. We got service on Wednesday night, I'll be here. We have Sunday school, I'll be here. You know why? Because every time I went, the Word of God was preached and taught. And I had a hunger. I got to hurry, number four. Spiritual fruit. A praiseful spirit, a propensity to pray, a powerful hunger for God's Word. How about a peculiar manner of living? Go to Titus for just a minute. Bob Hamlin would say, that's in the small part of your Bible. Chapter 2. Verse 11, a wonderful verse. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Isn't that wonderful? But don't stop there. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You may not like getting teased about it. You may not like that people, you know, acknowledge that you're different. But you ought to be a peculiar person. Not in an offensive way. But the world ought to see a difference. You ought to be different than you were before you got saved. Julio's shirt. Over at the men's retreat. I know I'm not the man I ought to be. But I'm glad I'm not the man I used to be. People say that about you? Hey, old so-and-so, have you noticed they're different? What happened to them? And then the co-worker says, oh, they got religion. Right? Now, you know you didn't get religion, you got a relationship. But that's the only way they know to explain it, because something happened. You're not the same old person you used to be. That's why I don't want to hang around you anymore. You're one of them Jesus freaks. Believers are to be different in our manner of living. We ought to have different values, different practices. We ought to live holy lives. Live righteously and holy in this world. Our lives ought to back up what we claim to be. We need to display spiritual fruit. Number five. By a preoccupation with pleasing God. A preoccupation with pleasing God. I've got to hurry. Let me ask you this question. What's the number one priority in your life? If you had to write it down, listen to me. I'm very serious when I ask this. If somebody said, I want you to write down on a piece of paper, the number one priority of your life, what would you put down? I know what I would put down. Because I know what my number one priority is. Please Him. You know, when I die, if they ever put anything on a tombstone, the thing I'd want most for them to put on my tombstone is, he lived to please God. Because that's my priority. It's not to get the most toys. It's not to get my name in the sword of the Lord. It's not to have people say, what a great preacher, Pastor Gilmore. That's not my priority. The thing I live for the most is to please Him. And I gotta say this, it bothers me when I know I'm not pleasing Him. Bother you? Is your heart so hard it doesn't bother you at all? One more thing. We need to display a spiritual fruit by having a pattern of persuading others to be saved. Are you a soul winner? Oh, there you go again. You talk about tithing. You talk about soul winning. Is it in the Bible? Is it presented over and over and over to us as believers that we need to be doing this? Does God make it very clear our responsibility to get the gospel to unsaved people? Then shouldn't that be a fruit of our Christian life that we labor, we have a pattern of doing whatever we can do to get other peoples to Christ? We're commanded to do it. But you see, it should not just be because we're commanded. It ought to be because we're compelled by His love. We ought to be compelled by His love for the world and His love for me and my love for Him. I don't know how it is with you, but I'll tell you this. I want everybody to know the joy I have of being saved. I want everybody to know how wonderful it is to have a changed life. I want everybody to know how wonderful it is not to need beer, not to need liquor, not to need tobacco, not to need drugs, not to need pornography, not to need anything the world has to offer. I don't need to be satisfied. I'm not looking for satisfaction. I found it 39 years ago. That little spot in the heart of every person that only Jesus can satisfy. I got it. And I want to see other people have that. I feel bad for them where they're trying to find satisfaction in everything and anything, and all they get is disappointed. I was reading out Ezekiel in our men's devotional yesterday about how people would be and chasing after one another's wives and wickedness and all that, all looking for satisfaction. Can't find it. Buying the next thing, going to the next place. Smoking the next thing, drinking the next thing, divorcing this one and marrying another one and finding this. And we have the one thing that will satisfy them. And we have the one message that will change their life. Why should we be so selfish as to keep it? I'm sure glad somebody shared it with me. I talked to somebody yesterday. They started a church in Warminster. It's Ray Light's son. And we were talking there, and I said, where are you at in Warminster? He said, on street, and he told me the other crossroad. I said, you know, years ago, I managed a 7-Eleven store on the corner of Street and Maple Avenue in Warminster. He said, that's a block and a half from where we got this church. I said, no kidding. That was my first manager position at 7-Eleven. I was only 20 years old. I wasn't of legal age to even be a manager. But I loved the work and I did very, very well. And 6 months later, they came and promoted me to the biggest store in our area down in Fairless Hills. I was the youngest manager. Now I had the biggest store. I was on my way up. Yeah. And I was sharing this with him. I said, you know, I worked for 7-Eleven. I really enjoyed the work. I loved what I was doing. And I was doing well at it. But then all of a sudden the bottom fell out. They went on a franchise basis. I couldn't franchise. I wasn't old enough. And within 2 weeks, I was gone. The situation, I didn't like how they handled the situation. I left. I told my district manager when he came in the store they transferred me to, I said, this is my last day, I'm done. Oh, you don't want to quit? I said, yes, I do, I'm done. I've had it. Done. Young, arrogant. I walked out. He called me the next day. He said, you know what happened today? I said, no. He said, they came looking for you. They wanted to promote you into management. In the office. One day I missed it by. I thought about that for many years. And you know, I figured it out. I believe God works in your life even when you're unsaved. And see, I figured it out. If I would have stayed there, I'd probably still be with 7-Eleven. And I wouldn't be with the Lord. But I'm so glad that God moved in a way that brought me to a place where somebody told me about Christ and I got saved. Listen, there ought to be fruit in our life. That's what this is all about. You're a Christian, you're a tree. As a Christian, our tree ought to bear fruit. People ought to be able to come by and see evidence that there's life. You have fruit? If you don't, you need to get saved. You say, well, I got some fruit. But how much fruit? Don't you want to produce more fruit? I do. I'm just of that personality. I want to be the number one producing tree. That's how I feel about it. When people look at my life, I want them to say, whoa, look at the fruit in that life. And it's not me, it's him. And I want to bear fruit for my Lord. How about you? By their fruits ye shall know them. See, the level of your Christian life is, look at the fruit. How much fruit? You want to measure where you are spiritually? Don't measure against the guy next to you. Well, I'm pretty good because, you know, they do this and they do that. No. Start checking your fruit out. How am I producing? You say, well, boy, I'm not doing very well. How about getting right with God over the issue? How about saying, Lord, I want to produce more fruit. I want an abundance of fruit. I don't want to just produce fruit. I don't just want to produce more fruit. I want to produce what you said in John 15. Much fruit. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ here about how fruit bears out, how fruit is evidence, how fruit is the result of our spiritual life. And the stronger our spiritual life, the more fruit we're going to bear. God, I pray that this morning you would burden some Christians. Some Christians who, they're saved, they've settled that issue. But they're not bearing much fruit. They're good people. They're not bearing much fruit, spiritually. And I pray that you'd help folks to have that change of heart, change of mind today, and just be willing to come to the altar and say, Oh God, I have not been bearing the fruit I ought to be bearing. Help me. Help me to change. Help me to show the fruit of what you've done in my life. Make it evident. Now, Father, there may be some here today who've never been saved. They cannot bear fruit for you. There's no life in them. And if they died right now, there's no hope of heaven. And our prayer is that today they'll come in the invitation time and allow us to take this blessed book you've given and show them how you said in your word, we could have eternal life. We can have our sins forgiven. We can know that we're going to heaven when we die. Bless this invitation. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask this question. How many Christians in here would say, I believe I'm bearing the fruit like God wants me to. I believe the Lord is pleased with the fruit of my life. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? I believe God is pleased with the fruit of my life. Here's my hand. You could not raise your hand. How many would say, Preacher, I know God is not pleased with the fruit of my life. I need to bear more fruit. I need to be able to have displayed in my life more of the Christian virtues that you talked about today. Right now I'm asking God to help me. Here's my hand. Hands going up all over this room. How about you? How about you? I want to bear more fruit. One more question. Are you saved? Are there some folks in this room say, Preacher, I cannot bear any spiritual fruit. I've never been saved. I have no spiritual life and I don't know I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? I will. Will you raise your hand right now so I can see who you are? God bless you. Thank you. You can put it down. Somebody else, Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not going to call your name. I won't embarrass you. I'll pray for you. Somebody else, Preacher, I need to get saved. I'm admitting it. Here's my hand. Let's stand together. We're not going to sing today. Mrs. Hunsinger is going to play a song of invitation. Listen, right now, start to play, Mrs. Hunsinger. Right now, God's speaking to your heart, and you need to come. I want you to slip out and come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Don't wait for anybody. Don't look for anybody. Don't care what anybody else is doing. You need to come. You come. Come on. Come on. God's speaking to your heart. Come on. You know He's talking to you. Just come. Just come. Just come. You're coming to be saved today. Okay, let me have a lady talk with you, okay? You should talk with her. She needs to be saved. Folks are all around this altar right now. And God's Holy Spirit's doing a work in hearts here today. Folks are admitting the need for more fruit. Folks are asking God to help them to be more fruitful. One's come to Christ and be saved. Whatever your need is today, we want to help you. Listen, God loves you. God sent Jesus to die for you and to save you. And God's desire is that when we know Him as our Savior, that we would live for Him. That we would bear the fruit He wants us to bear. And be what He wants us to be. And He's speaking to you about it today. You know, sometimes when a fruit tree isn't bearing like it has, like it should, the husbandman has to prune that fruit tree. He has to come along and cut away some things that are holding back that fruit tree. Listen, don't put God in that position where He has to prune your life so you'll bear the fruit you're supposed to bear. Just going to wait another minute. God, speak in your heart. Would you come? Would you come? The Holy Spirit of God squeezing your heart. God wants to do something in you and with you. Will you come? Have you obeyed Him today? Be seated for just a minute. Wilford, come on over here. And you want to renew your membership, is that it? All right, this is Wilford, going son. I know she don't look old enough to have a son this old.